Amen, amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles, and find chapter 20. And I love that hymn. I know it's a favorite of so many, but what a great testimony that song has. And no matter what happens in your life, you can know that God's in control, and He is good. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The next few weeks, Lord willing, we're going to study a little bit about really discerning and following the will of God. And to kind of introduce that today, I'm going to ask you to try to find 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. If you're able, let's stand together. We'll pray, and then we'll read this one verse as we get started today. Before we pray, Brother Philip, would you please lead us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this time to come and for bringing us here today, Lord. I pray. Thank you for the prayer before us tonight. Pray for those in need of our prayer and of your healing. Lord, I pray that you will lead us now to understanding and comprehending your word.
Amen. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Amen. Please be seated. This is part of a prayer of King Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat and Judah are facing a situation that's beyond something that they can handle. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that before when you're faced against a situation that's more than you can handle. But if you haven't ever experienced that, it's probably because you weren't awake. We all face experiences in life that are beyond what we can handle. And as Christians, living for Jesus is more than we can do on our own. We have an enemy that's greater than we are. And if you're not very careful in your Christian life, you'll come to moments where you feel absolutely overwhelmed and where you almost despair because you don't know what to do. And Jehoshaphat and this account of the southern kingdom of Judah really teaches us some things. And this account follows a really important event that happened in Jehoshaphat's life. He was king in the southern kingdom of Judah. There was the northern kingdom. But in 2 Chronicles 18, he had aligned himself with a king named Ahab. Has anybody ever heard of King Ahab? How do we normally describe him? Like good or not so good? Wicked, that's the word, right? I mean, he's just called Wicked King Ahab. Like, that's who he is. And so Jehoshaphat had aligned himself when he had been warned not to do that. And you can go back and read it in chapter 18. Like, he almost died because he had unwisely aligned himself with a wicked king, and he didn't follow biblical and sound and godly and wise advice. And it seems like that near-death experience has done something to help him. Now, Jehoshaphat was not a perfect man. He wasn't a sinless man, but he was a good king. He was a good king, and he followed the Lord. So he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He wasn't a perfect man, but we need to understand today that we have to learn how to discern God's will for our lives and to follow it by His grace. And I just, it's obviously on my heart a lot lately, trying to figure out God's will and just determine His purposes. And we all have to do that all the time. We all have a lot of decisions to make. And some of them are more important than what deodorant to buy. Right? I mean, that matters, by the way. And in case you're wondering, you should have. We're getting ready to go to teen camp. And there are two things on the list for everybody that I try to always remind everyone. Number one is your Bible. Bring your Bible. And number two, bring deodorant. The people who go to camp ought to amen that. Like, you ought to know. Shower shoes, that's also on the list. I'm trying to help you people today. Some decisions we make are far more important than things like that. It's trying to figure out God's will for our life, because not everything is written down for us. And we don't live in a time, like, have you ever thought this? Like, you're reading the Bible and God spoke to Abraham and you're like, I wish he would just talk to me. We read about David was a man after God's own heart. And if you read the accounts of David's life, he's all the time seeking God, saying, God, should we go over here? And God's like, yeah, go over there. God, should we go over here? And he's like, no, don't go over there. And God just spoke to David. And when I read those accounts, I'm like, that's awesome. And we should certainly be like those men and cry out to God and say, God, which way should I go? But God doesn't speak to us audibly like he did those men. He speaks to us through his word. And we actually have it really good because we have the completed written word of God. We have his word. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Because I'm going to tell you, if I heard the voice of God speak to me, I'm going to tell you, I probably wouldn't trust it. Like, if God's talking to you out loud today, maybe you guys are like, oh, he talks to me all the time. Maybe you have lots of voices in your head that talk to you. I don't know. I'm just saying I can trust God's written word. And not only that, he's given me his Holy Spirit. So he's given us his Holy Scriptures. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And he does have direction for our lives. So how do we discern it? How do we figure it out? I'm going to give you five things from 2 Chronicles 20. Number one, seek the Lord prayerfully. Seek the Lord prayerfully. Number two, receive the Lord's word humbly. Receive the Lord's word humbly. Number three, trust the Lord worshipfully. Trust the Lord worshipfully. Number four, obey the Lord faithfully. Obey the Lord faithfully. And number five, leave the results with God completely. Leave the results with God completely. And we'll walk through these things. Let's back up to 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. Behold, they be in Hazen-Zetamer, which is in En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil comes upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let in Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Man, this is awesome. So Jehoshaphat gets word that Moab, Ammon, and others besides the Ammonites are all coming, and there is a great host coming, like an innumerable multitude. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people are coming against Jerusalem, and they don't have any might to stand against them. So they have only a couple of options. One, they can stay and die, or they can run away. They could try to run and hide and go into the mountains, or they can call on the Lord. And he makes a really wise choice, doesn't he? And look at what he does. They come and tell him this group is coming. And verse 3 says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. You know, fear makes people do all kinds of crazy things, doesn't it? There was a time when King Saul, you guys remember him? King Saul, he was tall. He was heads and shoulders above the rest. And there was a time when he had disobeyed God and God's presence had departed from him. And he was afraid and he didn't know what to do. And he couldn't get Samuel to show up to tell him what to do. So what he did was he went to a medium. He went to basically a witch to try to figure out what to do. You guys remember that? When he was afraid, he didn't go to God. He ran even further away from God. And fear will either drive you towards God or it will drive you away from him, further away from God and into sin. So when you're afraid, run to God. When you're afraid, seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. And how did he do that? He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Fasting and prayer always go together. And there are going to be times in your life when things get bad that it may cause you to not even desire to eat. Now, some of you in the room are like, I can never imagine that. But most of us have been at a place where we were so worried, so afraid, so heartbroken, or so overwhelmed with something that we didn't even want to eat. Well, this situation called for fasting, and Jehoshaphat proclaims a fast throughout the year, throughout the whole land of Judah. And verse 4 says, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, God had set a place. He set up a place in Jerusalem. And you remember when the king established that, when Solomon dedicated the temple, and he had that great prayer. We read about it sometimes. When my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked way, seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, right? You guys remember that? Okay, if you don't, you can read about it, 2 Chronicles 7:14. But he gave that promise to them that if you turn away from me, I'm going to send trouble. But in your trouble, if you'll turn to me, if you'll pray to me, if you'll cry out to me, then I will help you. And so Jehoshaphat is just calling on the promise of God here. So they all come to seek God's face. They come to the place where he is. And I've got great news for you today as Christians. Where do you have to go to find God? I mean, you got to buy a plane ticket, fly over to Israel, get a bus, and go to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Is that what you have to do? Do you have to come to the church building? And a lot of times people call this the house of God, God's house. You got to come down here and unlock the door and come in this room and find him at the altar. Is this where you have to come to find God? Aren't you glad that you can call out to God anywhere at any time? Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, to the end of the age. Jesus is with you and you don't have to go somewhere else to find God because he's always there. You understand that that's special, that that's unique, that that's different, that it hasn't always been that way? And you ought to give thanks to God that you can cry out to him anywhere. You can seek his face anywhere. And it doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the night at your house. You can cry out to God. If you're working out in your yard, if you're on the job site, if you're at school, you can pray to God anywhere, anytime, and he is there. But they came to seek the Lord. They came to find him. And so Jehoshaphat, in verse 5, he stands in the congregation of all the people in the house of the Lord, and he starts to pray and cry out to God. And it starts in verse 6, and he says, you're the Lord God of our fathers. He's like, aren't you the God in heaven? Don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? You're not just the God of Israel. You're the God of all the earth. He is the king of all the kings. He is the Lord of all the lords. And you know that today there are a lot of nations in this world who don't acknowledge God? Were you aware of that? Do you know that there are prime ministers and presidents and kings and all kinds of leaders of nations that don't know the God of the Bible? Entire nations that hate Christ and his word? Do you guys know that? Did you know that God still rules over all of those nations? He rules over the whole earth. And that's what Jehoshaphat is praying. He's like, you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen. In your hand there is power and might. Is there not power and might so that none can stand against you? Are you not God that drove out the inhabitants of the land and gave us this land to the seed of Abraham? And then this good, thy friend forever. Abraham was a friend of God. You know why? Because Abraham believed God. Do you want to be a friend of God? Man, y'all are making this really hard today. It's not a trick question. You can either remain an enemy of God or you can be a friend of God. Which do you choose? You know how you get to be a friend of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will make you his friend. Isn't that awesome? I was an enemy of God, and now I'm a friend of God. And Abraham was his friend forever, and God gave them a promise forever. And they dwelt there, and they built the sanctuary, the temple there. And he gave the promise that we already talked about, that Solomon prayed to God, and God responded and said, I will bless you if you'll call on me and you'll turn from your wicked way. I will heal you and I will help you in your trouble. And then he says, you wouldn't let us deal with these people when we came out of Egypt. You told us to leave them alone, but now look at what they're doing. They're coming out to destroy us. Won't you judge them? When we face impossible situations, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest about the reality. It's not good for us to pretend like everything's okay when it's not okay. The reality is we have an enemy. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And it doesn't do you any good to pretend like you don't have an enemy. It doesn't do you any good to pretend like your spiritual life isn't always under attack. It doesn't do you any good to pretend like there's not somebody out there that wants to destroy your marriage and destroy your family and to tear everything that you hold dear apart, because we do have an enemy. He faced the reality of it. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter recognize that we have an enemy, that we are at war, and you would do well to recognize the fact that we are at war, and we have an enemy that's far greater than we are. You can't stand against the devil on your own. You can't stand against the world on your own. Hey, listen, you can't even beat your own flesh, your own self on your own. So we need to face the reality. He acknowledged his fear. Jehoshaphat feared. Some of us would have a hard time admitting that we were afraid. Sometimes we have a hard time admitting that anything bothers us. But he feared. But rather than turning away from God like King Saul, he turned to God. He set himself to seek the Lord. He made a decision. He made a deliberate decision. Determination. He had some determination about him. This wasn't just like, I'm scared, so I'm going to run to mommy. This was, I'm afraid, and I'm going to set myself to seek God. I'm going to purpose in my heart to seek God. I'm going to make up my mind from this moment on that I'm going where God wants me to go. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to seek his face so that I can know him. And you guys understand today, there's a difference between seeking the hand of God and seeking the face of God. Too many Christians today just want the hand of God. What does that mean? I want what God's going to give me. But Jehoshaphat wasn't just looking for God to deliver them, like give us deliverance, give us help, give us power over our enemies. He was actually seeking the face of God. What that means is he wanted to know God. He wanted to have a close personal relationship with God. He wanted to know the face of God so that he could know the person of God, so that he could know the will of God. We don't want to just know about God. We need to know him. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20 and verse 7. We want to seek him. I want to say that one of the things that happened here in seeking the Lord prayerfully is that they did it with humility. Fasting and prayer require humility. We were studying in our Sunday school class about the centurion whose servant became sick. And some of you might remember that. He actually won't even go to Jesus. He sends some other people to Jesus. But when Jesus comes, he goes out to meet him and he says, "I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof." You know what? That man had tremendous faith and God answered his prayer. And I just want you to get this. When we come to God, we have to come humbly. I mean, if you're coming in your pride, are you even coming to God? Can we really approach the throne of mercy and grace in our pride? I don't think we can get there that way. I think we have to come with humility. I think we have to come with absolute dependence on God. When in Ezra chapter 8, he proclaimed a fast. When he was leading God's people out of captivity back into Jerusalem, this is a lot of years later, Ezra says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." Ezra proclaimed a fast so that they could seek God and so that they could seek his direction. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, but we are looking at you. Our eyes are upon thee. And then I want you to think about how he prayed. How did Jesus teach his disciples to pray? How does it start? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And look at how Jehoshaphat starts praying. Art not thou God in heaven? Jehoshaphat prayed very much the same way that Jesus taught us to pray. He starts by looking at who God is. He talks about his sovereignty and his power. He talks about his faithfulness to his covenants. He talks about the things that he's done and the promises that he's made. He talks about his relationship with his people. So when you don't know what to do, you can start with what you do know. And what you ought to remember that you know is that God is God and we're not. God is God and our enemies aren't. We can remember who he is. And we can remember what he's done. And you can remember that God is good. And he's going to do what's best for you, whether you understand it or not. They had no idea what was going to happen. But he prayed based on what he knew. He knew who God was, and then he reminds God of his covenant promises, the things that he's done and the things that he promised that he would do. And by the way, you can do that. You can claim the promises of God in your prayers to God. It's a good thing to do. You're like, well, does God need me to remind him of stuff, like just in case he forgot? No, what are we doing? No, we're demonstrating to God our faith in his promises. When Jehoshaphat prays and reminds him of his promises, he's not saying, just in case you forgot, God. He's just saying, Lord, we remember your promises and we're trusting in those promises. That's what we want to do. Remember his word and trust in his word. I can't remember his word if I don't read his word. So I got to be in the word so I'll know his word so I can remember his word. It's the same way that Nehemiah prayed in Nehemiah 1:8. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses. Nehemiah prayed and reminded God of his promises. So we want to always, always pray biblically the way God teaches us to in his word. He tells God about what's going on. You know, you can talk to God about what's going on. This is kind of a weird question, but have you ever kind of been embarrassed to pray about something? Anybody? Y'all help me out. You can like nod your head or shake your head. A couple of you are like, no, but some of you are like, yeah. there's been some things in my life like that I don't even want to talk to God about. You guys realize how dumb that is, right? Amen. I'm not going to talk to God about it like so he won't find out. No, we can talk to God about anything. He just lets God know what's going on and that it's too much for them. We got to have some humility. And Jehoshaphat wasn't prideful. As king of Israel and king of Judah, he didn't say, they're coming, but we got this. We can handle this. It's no problem for us. He recognized the fact that it was too much for them to handle. And not only that, he says, we have no might against this great company. We don't have the power to overcome them. And then he says, we don't even know what to do. God, I got a situation I'm facing that's too big for me. Not only is the situation too big for me, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to do. And we would do well to learn to pray like that. You know, sometimes the Bible is really clear about situations. You're faced with a decision and there's an A and a B and the Bible says don't do B, so you do A. That's easy. But there are a lot of decisions that we face in this life that aren't so clear. They're not cut and dry. There's no thou shalt in the Bible for your particular situation. And so you're not sure what to do. And you can run all the scenarios in your head. And I know some of you will literally do this when you're trying to make a decision. You write down pros and cons on a piece of paper. And another thing that we like to do is run scenarios in our head. Like you daydream about the outcomes. I know you do this. Stop looking at me like that. You think, well, if I do this, then it's going to go like this, and then that's going to happen, and this is going to happen like you know the future somehow. But if I do that, then this will happen, and this will happen, and you're running all these scenarios in your mind, and you're trying to figure out the best course of action. And at the end of the day, sometimes you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Seek God's face. That's what you do. You pray, but you pray in faith. So, number one, seek the Lord prayerfully. Seek the Lord prayerfully. Number two, we need to receive the Lord's word humbly. Look at verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Isn't that good? Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So, they're praying to God. They've been fasting. They've all come together to seek God's face. And while Jehoshaphat is praying, the Spirit of God comes on Jahaziel. He stands up in front of everybody and says, everybody, listen. King Jehoshaphat, listen. Because this is what the Lord says unto you. Don't be afraid nor dismayed. Have you ever heard God say that anywhere in Scripture? Be not afraid. You know, and the reality of it is, so many times the heart of our issues and our anxiety is fear. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of the outcomes. We're afraid of how uncomfortable a situation might be. And God says, don't be afraid. Why? Because he's with you. Because ultimately, the whole battle is not yours, it's God's. And yes, you're going to be there, and yeah, you're going to be in the middle of it, and there's going to be some things you're going to have to go through, but he is with you, and he is fighting for you. So you don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to be dismayed. Sometimes we get so afraid, we're out of our minds, and he says, you don't have to be like that. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed because of this great multitude. The Lord is with you. Tomorrow, you're going to go down, and they're going to come up. And I'm going to tell you where you're going to find them, but you won't have to fight in the battle. You just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Where have I heard that before? Amen. You remember when they come out of Egypt? You remember when Pharaoh changes his mind and gets all his chariots and comes after them? You remember how when they come to the Red Sea, it's in front of them and there's the mountains on the other side, and the only way they could run away, here comes Pharaoh and all of his army. You guys remember that? There's nowhere to go. And Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He gives a way when there is no way. It was an impossible circumstance. He looked at it and says, I don't understand how we're ever going to get out of this. I don't understand how God's going to accomplish his will. I don't understand how God's purposes are going to be fulfilled for his people in this situation. I can't see it. But I got good news for you. God has a better perspective than we do. You know, just by virtue of the fact that he's in heaven and we're on the earth, he can see more. But not only that, he's timeless. He knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. And while you're in panic mode, out of your mind with fear, God's like, just step. This idea of standing still has the idea of being at peace. It's almost like God just says, just calm down. Which, by the way, is always good for a husband to tell his wife. Just calm down. It's always good. Just calm down. I said that to my wife the other day, and somebody in the room was like, oh. Did you just tell her to calm down? Yeah, I did. And it was okay. I'm still alive, right here. Stand still. See the salvation. This is a title. It doesn't really come out in the translation, but this is a name of God. The Lord with you. The Spirit of God comes on Jehaziel and he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. It's good news, friends. He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's there with you. It's in their prayer when they pray to him, and it's in his response when he answers them. So receive the word of the Lord humbly. Receive the Lord's word humbly. He says, I'm going to be with you. You don't have to fight in the battle. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them because the Lord will be with you. Now in that day, he gave prophetic revelation. The Spirit of God came on a prophet of God and he preached the word of God. Today we have the written word of God that's been given by inspiration of God and been preserved by the power of God, and you can read it today. It is with you, and you can open up the book and you can read the word of God and you can receive it just like they did from Jehaziel. You can receive this as the very word of the Lord. When you hear the word of God and believe it, does it change you? I'm so happy for all three of you that said amen. It's so good. You don't have to wait around for somebody to jump up in the room and say, I've got a word from the Lord. You can just open your Bible. It's right there. Isn't that good? Man, give thanks. We have the word of God. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but there are times when I'm maybe afraid or have some anxiety or I'm dealing with some issues in my heart and my mind, and I sit down and I pray, and then I read the Word of God, and it changes my heart. Like, he does something in my... I read from the Word of God, and it changed me. And I'm just trying to tell you, it'll change you too. I love it. What was Jehoshaphat's problem? Oh, yeah, it said he was afraid, right? And what did God say? Don't be afraid. Like, the problem that he had, God gave an answer for. And the same thing will happen for you. The battle is the Lord's. Now, he doesn't just say, you guys stay here, everything will be okay. He actually tells them to get up and go to the battle. And then he says, you're not going to fight in the battle, but I want you to be there. Now that's important. God wants us to do something. We don't just hear his word and believe it. We have to respond in faith. That's another thing we talked about in Sunday school. This centurion who came to Jesus and said, my servant's sick of the palsy. He's about to die. He actually went out to meet the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to go out to meet the Lord. Now, he's going to fight the battle, but we need to show up. There are things that he tells them to do. He says, tomorrow I want you to get up and I want you to go to this place. And sometimes God's going to convict our heart. And maybe there's not a book, chapter, and verse, but you know that God's compelling you. I need to do something. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to go to someone and talk to them. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying that God's going to direct your heart, and we have to obey what he shows us to do. We got to do what God shows us to do, no matter what, no matter what anyone else says. There's a man of God in 1 Kings 13, and God gave him a direct command. And at first he follows God's command, but then an older prophet tells him that God told him something different. And he listens to the other man, and it leads to his destruction. You need to stick with what God has told you in his word, no matter what anyone else says. Stick with what God says. Do things according to his word. Man, I was thinking about David. You remember when the ark was taken away by the Philistines and all that crazy stuff happens, and they finally decide to get the ark and bring it back to Jerusalem? And the first way they do it is to sit it on a cart and haul it contrary to what the word of God says. And a man died because of that. And then they do it the way God says. And David said later, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. He recognized later, we didn't do it the way God said to do it. So God has given us his word, and we want to do what he says. So we pray, right? We seek his face prayerfully, but then we have to receive his word humbly. And part of that humility is to just do what he says. Do what God says. I got to follow his word. Look at verse 18. We want to trust the Lord worshipfully. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Humility, worship, and praise is how they responded. They believed God, and they were going to do what he said. But before they did anything else, they worshiped before the Lord. Jehoshaphat led as the king. He bows his head with his face to the ground. So he literally bows down on the ground before God. And when he does that, all of Judah follows. They all fall down and worship the Lord. To worship means to ascribe worth to, but it has the picture of bowing down. It's literally bowing down before God. They are in a position where if God doesn't intervene, they're going to die and lose everything. And so when God says, I'm going to deliver you, their response is overwhelming worship. And after they fall on their faces, prostrate in worship, then the singers stand up and praise God. They lift up their voices to God. You know, I think that worship is our only right response to the Word of God. It's good, isn't it? I mean, I would just think about this. We're talking about trying to discern God's will and follow it. But you're here largely this morning because at some point in your life, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you knew you were on your way to hell, and it was overwhelming to you. And you knew you couldn't save yourself, so you cried out to Jesus to save you. Right? I don't know exactly how that looked for you. I just know in some way you knew that you were dead in your trespasses and sins on your way to hell, and you believed on the Lord, and you cried out on his name. You called on him and asked him to save you, and he did. Right? And if that's not true for you today, it can be true for you. If you are not in Christ, you don't have life. You can repent. Turn away from your sin and unbelief. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on his name, and he will save you, and he'll deliver you from death and hell and give you life everlasting. That's the biggest problem you've ever faced. And the only right response to that is to worship him and to praise him. And if he could save a wretch like me, I know he can take care of any other problem I face in this life. You guys get that? Like, I mean, he's already done the biggest thing, the hardest thing, the greatest thing. The biggest miracle I needed in my life was that he would redeem this wretch. And he did. So whatever else I face, I know that he's got it. And I can seek him prayerfully, and I can trust his word and receive it humbly. And I can trust in him. Believe his promises that he's going to deliver. This morning, I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And we'll get the rest of the story later. But for now, I just want to ask you, if you have any decisions you're facing in your life, if you have any trials that seem overwhelming to you, like you just don't see you don't see how there could be a good outcome, I want you to know you can trust in the Lord. And today you ought to take the first step that Jehoshaphat took, and you ought to set yourself to seek God's face. Set yourself to seek God's face. He says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. If he's convicting your heart, there's a decision that you need to make. Or maybe you're convicted at the response that they had to God, and you feel like you ought to respond the same way. Whatever it is, if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you come as we sing.
Page 560.